Thank you. It is a real joy, privilege, and honor, and a blessing to be able to be here another Monday afternoon. We're thankful for God's precious love, His infinite wisdom, His understanding, and His great tender mercies. I'm a partaker of His grace. I'm worthy. I really am. I'm not worthy to even call upon His name, but I thank Him for saving a vile sinner such as myself and helping me when I couldn't help myself 39 wonderful years ago. Something spectacular and wonderful happened to me on the inside of me. I got transformed and changed. God quickened me and made me alive, forgave me all my sins, and gave me the free gift of eternal life. And I don't ever have to worry about perishing and dying in sin and going to hell. He took my place. He was my substitute, propitiation, the atonement for my sins. The Bible said, "He that knew no sin became sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him." And Jesus died at Calvary and gave up the ghost. He sacrificed himself and he paid the penalty, paid the price for sin. He offered up himself as a sweet-smelling incense unto God Almighty and became a sweet-smelling Savior. I'm glad he's the only name under heaven given among men whereby all the world must be saved. It's a must, a necessity. If you go to heaven, you'll have to have your sins forgiven and placed under his blood. The Bible said outside the shedding of the blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness for sin. Most people, it saddens my heart, grieves me. They think because they're, of course, good moral people, or they go to church or belong to church and they give the monies and they try to do well and treat their neighbors well, that they're justified. And because they have an easy believer in their mind, they believe Jesus is the Son of God, that they're all right. But they're not all right. The Bible said, with a heart, that's the depth of soul, man believeth in righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And when you really believe, you'll repent of your sin, you'll turn from sin, you'll die to sin, you'll give up the flesh and the world, and you'll call on him with a broke heart and a contrite spirit. When you've done that, the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not tongue-in-cheek, but that's out of a heartfelt, no soul, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and calling on him for salvation. When you've done that, beloved, and you sought him with a whole heart, he'll forgive you and cleanse you and make you brand new on the inside and put you in newness of life. That happened to me 39 years ago. My mother's prayers. Thank God for a praying mother. My mother prayed over me, labored over me, and of course I got saved. My brothers as well, all but one. Of course he will be in due time. That's between him and God. That's a personal thing. My daddy got saved when he was up in his 60s. Of course he run like I did as a young man, and foolishness and folly and carrying on and things of the flesh. But when he got converted and born again, all those things he was a partaker of, he didn't dwell there any longer therein. He got transformed, changed, quickened, made alive. God put a new nature in him, a divine nature. God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory when you get saved. I'm talking about saved from sin. I'm not talking about mind salvation, the case of the do-betters, and turning over a new leaf. Most church members, God have mercy, it grieves me when I say this, but it's the truth, are not saved. They don't really know what you're talking about when you're talking about saved. With salvation, being saved from sin. They think because they're good, or they do well, or they treat their neighbor well, or they're attentive in church, and they try to do good things, that they're justified. And if you could be justified like that, and by being good or doing good, beloved, then we'd find out that Jesus died a vain death. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when it was all along the disciples, he left them, of course, they fell asleep. He was in great agony. The Bible said that drops of blood come like sweat off his brow, off his face, and fell to the ground. He was in such agony, agonizing before God Almighty. That's the reason he'd come for this particular hour, this particular time, was to yield himself and give himself to the will of God into the hands of a howling mob and submit himself and be crucified at Calvary, bearing our sins in his own body in the tree. That was the purpose of which he came. But he prayed there, "Father, if there be any other way to let this cup pass from me, that nevertheless not my will, but thy will be done," signifying there was no other way. Price had to be paid in full. Something perfect, something sent down from heaven, something supreme, something divine. And of course, that was the Lord Jesus. We can't save ourselves. We're vile, we're wretched by birth, we're shaved iniquity, and born in sin. The Bible said there's not a righteous man, not a just man of all the faith of the earth. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one. We're all like sheep gone astray. But the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all upon him, and by his stripes only, beloved, can you get healed. The healing bomb, the chief physician, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He died at Calvary, took our place, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. And if you get to heaven, you'll have to be justified. The Bible said he was delivered for our offenses, that's our sins, and raised again for our justification. We've been justified if your sins are under the blood. I'm glad, thank God, I have been saved by the marvelous bathing grace of God. And I am what little bit I am only by the grace of God. Now, if I was already a partaker of the just reward that I should have gotten, I'd already be burned in hell. But I'm glad God had mercy upon me. My mother's prayers over me, prayer caught up with me. I'm glad that it did, and I got the praise where I got both. Contrite, I got sick of myself, sick of sin. I got tired of gambling, smoking, cussing, carrying on the excitement of my flesh, and it's the pleasure of sin for seed. And that's why people commit sin. That's why they commit sex, and that's why they smoke dope, or sniff dope, or shoot up the dope. That's why they do all these things, because it enhances, entices, and brings a high, of course, a type of a fantasy of a relief to their mind. But the only thing it does is further take them down, intoxicate them further. It destroys so many families, and breaks up so many homes, and leaves so many children on the streets. And God have mercy, they're overwhelmed with dope. God have mercy, we're in a sick society. Beloved, seek after these things, because it says, the Bible said, the pleasure of sin proceeds. And when it doesn't satisfy, nobody's ever really satisfied on the inside when they meet the Savior. But He becomes real in their life, but He forgives them and cleanses them, then they know what life's all about. When He saves you, He gives you purpose, He gives you meaning, He gives you reason as to why you're alive and who you want to live for. I mean, it changes it completely on the inside. He cast out that old heart of stone. The Bible said He breathes His blessed presence and renews us and washes us and cleanses us in His own blood, places His own Holy Spirit inside of us, beloved, a new nature, divine nature, God in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. You're never the same when you get saved. You're still tempted as long as you're in a human body. All of us are tempted. That's part of being human. Everybody faces temptation. We all have that. That's how the devil works on every mortal being, every human being, through the lust of flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The devil doing all he can to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. He's an evil force. He's a liar and a father of it. He's trying to destroy the pain and everybody that he can. He's professional at what he does. He's deceiving the world's greatest counterfeiter, the world's greatest liar, the world's greatest deceiver is Satan himself. He's got the people, the Bible said, the god of this world, being the devil, and blinding the minds of them, beloved, and groping darkness, the unregenerate and the unsaved. They're blinded by the devil himself. The only hope they have and the hope they need, the Bible said, the good news of the glorious gospel of Christ shining on them. It'll liberate you. It'll set you at liberty. It'll set you free. The Bible said, if the Son shall set you free or make you free, you shall be free indeed. Beloved, when you get saved, by the grace of God, I can promise you, you'll be put in newness of life. And old things will pass away. All things will become new to you when you get saved. I know I've had that personal experience in grace. I'm glad the Lord Jesus found me before the Baptist did. Now, I'm a Baptist preacher. God put me into the Baptist church, and beloved, we're missionary Baptists. Of course, the Baptist didn't save me, but I'm glad that Jesus found me before the Baptist did. Most Baptists need to get saved. God have mercy. Most of them are lost, like most of the other denominations. The majority of those people that brought these different denominations and organizations, affiliations, and all these other cults, too, that's going around, like the Muslims and everybody else, are in a thing of the demonic forces of hell. It's not real. It's not life, beloved. It's not but one way to heaven, not but one name under heaven given among men whereby all the world must get saved, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. God has highly exalted Him and gave Him a name above every name. He resurrected from the dead. Every other being, beloved, died, of course, died in their sins. They went straight to hell. But the hell couldn't hold Him because He bore our sin in His own body on the tree, but He tasted of death, hell, and the grave. Every mortal being, beloved, that ever has been born, ever will be born, He was and is God's divine Son. He's the only potentate, the only authority, the only one between God and man. The Bible said that man being Christ Jesus. Yes, He's the Son, the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of all mankind. I'm not preaching some type of heresy, some type of cunning fable, device, some type of device, cunning fable that come forth by what somebody hummed up and drummed up. Beloved, I'm preaching the truth of God. I'm preaching the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost is bearing witness that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You don't have to believe that. You don't have to hear anything I've got to say. God made you when He created you. He gave you an opportunity to be your own person and to choose either good or evil. He gives us choice. God never makes or forces anybody. God's not going to force you, beloved, to believe what you're hearing. He's not going to make
make you repent. That'll be up to you. But if you choose to refuse and rebel and run your own way, y'all guarantee you, if you die in your sin, you will die in your sin. Without him, you'll go to hell. And in hell, you'll lift up your eyes. You'll be in a burning place, eternal torment, and damnation. The Bible said, with a fire, it's never going to go out. With a worm, it's never going to die. The scripture said, and the smoke of the torment of a second death will assert up ever and ever, and there'll be no rest day nor night. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus took your place, bearing our sins in his own body in the tree. When he offered himself at Calvary as a sacrifice for our sin, he settled the sin debt once and forever. He paid the price, praise God, for our sin. And if you'll trust him, believe on him, receive him as your personal Savior. But I'm not talking about with tongue in cheek and with your mind. Before I got saved, I knew who Jesus was. I knew he was the Son of God, but that don't save you. He's got to get real in you, alive in you. He's got to transform you, change you. Jesus said to Nicodemus, remember the Sanhedrin court, an elder ruler of the Jews, one that knew about the law, just man but unsaved. He came to Jesus by night, and Jesus right away got down to business and said, Nicodemus, verily, verily, surely I send you, except the man be born again, there is no way you're going to get to heaven. Of course, Nicodemus questioned what he was saying. He didn't understand it. The Lord related it to him, said, Nicodemus, you've been born out of the flesh, at the fleshly birth of water. Nicodemus, you've got to be born a second time. That's the Lord of heaven. That's a spiritual birth. You must be born of God's due nature, divine nature in you, beloved. You've got to have your sins forgiven and placed under his blood. Of course, Nicodemus, I believe, heard that, received that, later on he got saved because he bore witness to the fact that he had trusted Jesus. I believe when it came with Joseph of Arimathea and went to Pontius Pilate to beg his body, Nicodemus was along with him, bringing some costly ointments, beloved, to anoint the Lord's body. He was saved, he believed, accepted, he repented, and he opened up his mind, his heart, and the Lord Jesus became the prince, the power of his soul. Beloved, he was transformed and got saved, the bishop of his soul, that he was a new creature. So happens every human being has ever had been, ever will be saved. I'm talking about really saved from sin. I'm not talking about some pigment of your imagination or mind belief, beloved. I'm talking about being converted and born again, born to the Spirit of God, born by the Word of God that liveth and abideth ever. When it happens to you, I'll guarantee you, nobody can talk you out of it. You'll be the first one to know about it, beloved, when you get saved. The Bible said we know we've passed from death unto life. God gives us love for the brethren, for the blessed book, and for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. When you're saved from sin, right, God, you'll be a new man. Old things will pass away. All things will become new to you. No longer will you walk to run in sin. You want to please him. It's called you to be a soldier when you're really saved. But you know, your divine nature, God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'll guarantee you when you get saved, beloved, you'll know it. Most people, God help and have mercy, they're not saved. They only have a lip service and a mind salvation and an empty heart. The Bible said, for with a heart, that's a soul, man believeth unto righteousness, with mouth confession is made unto salvation. What happens to you, I'll guarantee you, you'll know that you're saved, and you'll be changed automatically on the inside. The outside of change too, newness of life. See, my time going to write to us. Pray for us. God bless you, is our prayer in his name.